It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox alongside and our executive producer, Carl Middleman. He's always at the controls.
Pew, pew.
Yeah. You got a pew, pew attitude today. I can tell. That's, of course, off air. But that's okay. That's okay. It's been a good week and a half. It just feels like a different temperature in this country. And the Americans have spoken. And glad to see some of the evolvement of what's and really the engagement, because I don't think I've ever heard this much information about an upcoming or a president-elect's cabinet this early on than we have with Donald Trump. And I mean, he's just one after the other. It's just every day. It's crazy, right?
It is. And you know, I mean, Donald Trump is good at stirring the pot. He knows he's really good at doing that. And you can see, I love your bobblehead there, Bo, that you're showing me.
The Trumpinator.
You know, with the Matt Gaetz pick, for example, as Attorney General, everybody's losing their minds. I don't know with any surety that Matt Gaetz ever even gets to a Senate confirmation hearing. But suddenly nobody's talking about all the other picks. And I don't know that it's not a distraction that Trump has thrown out there to kind of, you know, get the media off in a different direction, like a squirrel. You know, squirrels get distracted really easily. I don't know. It's not that. I don't know if he believes Matt Gaetz can actually get confirmed. And then maybe after the media blows up about this for a couple of weeks, he offers Gaetz a different position that doesn't require getting Senate confirmation, and he calls in an Andrew Bailey or someone like that to be Attorney General.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
You know, a buddy of mine, a fellow Missourian, texted me and said, why didn't he pick Andrew Bailey? I was like, I don't know. But what I've been caught in the rabbit hole of is Matt Gaetz going against Merrick Garland in their head-to-head conversations. But then if you look at, you know, mainstream media, Scarborough, Morning Joe, man, they were going over the accusations that there was no charges that were connected to it, but they're
charges.
Bringing up all the accusations.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And they're reminding people of that. I don't know, man. I felt pretty good all the way up until Matt. I mean, I feel good about the Matt Gaetz pick, but like you said, he may not get in because he's got to be approved.
Well, if you're going to be a disruptor, I'll just say this, whether it's at the ATF or the Department of Justice or the Department of Defense or whatever it happens to be, picking an insider is not the way to do that. If you pick somebody that everybody expects, they're very unlikely to go in and shake things up the way they need to be shaken up. You almost have to have an outside perspective, whether that's Gaetz or Pete Hegseth in defense or whoever he tries to get to take over the ATF. You've got to have somebody who's willing to go rattle some cages. So hopefully we see a little bit of that.
Well, and I think Gaetz is very polarizing because of his persona. But again, that's kind of like Donald Trump. I mean, you know, and they're attention getting for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, as Ron DeSantis, one of my favorite things I heard Ron DeSantis say, I know he didn't originate it, is don't pee down my leg and tell me it's raining. Right. Don't complain that. But wait, Matt Gaetz would be a horribly biased attorney general who might go after his boss's political opponents. But wait, that's what Merrick Garland has done for the last 3.5 years. Don't play that game with me, because the Democrats have done that with Merrick Garland. He just happened to have been a judge before they appointed him, which is even worse in some ways, because at least Gaetz has been up front with his political points of view. Merrick Garland spent his entire career hiding his political point of view, hoped to be on the Supreme Court, didn't make it, and then came back with a vengeance as attorney general.
Do you did you see the Chuck Schumer bit? He was on for about a minute and a half talking to the other side of the aisle. Don't disqualify us. We've got to be bipartisan here. there's just so much coming out that's just crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
But we shall see. And then, of course, the visit with Trump, you know, going to the White House and hanging out with Joe.
Would love to have been a fly on the wall for that one, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, how's your raffle tickets going? Because we just announced last week for the range. Talk about the ATF raffle going on.
Thank you. We are doing that for the range. It all benefits first responders, responderrescue.org. Great organization. Let's say a police officer or an EMS worker get hurt in the line of duty. They're off work for a couple of months. They step in and they pay heating bills and some medical bills, and they take requests if people are in a pinch, and then they write a check for those things directly to whoever the money's owed to. So we've raised over 80 grand for them in the past 3 years combined, and we're trying it again this year with the ATF raffle. Just text responder to 33100. It's easy. It'll come right to your phone. You hit the link and you can buy it. The minimum, the tickets are $1 a piece, minimum of 10 tickets. But if you buy 50, you get 55 tickets. So we're throwing bonuses in there for each extra one. There's a great gun, the CMMG Descent MK4. It's a 9mm rifle. The range is donating that, $2,100 value. There's a night at Lit Cigar Lounge. It's a $1,000 value. He's going to provide bottle service and cigars for a party of 10 people in their private lounge. It's going to be great. And he's going to give him a bottle of his nice bourbon. And then I put together a basket of bourbon. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits and a bunch of friends have donated Stolach whiskey. I'm going to have some Weller Antique 107, a Midwinter's Night Dram, Blanton's Gold. I mean, there's a long list of really good bourbons that people seek out in this thing. And you have a chance to win. We'll pick three winners.
So I've decided not to buy my gun raffle ticket because it was so embarrassing when I won the first one. Do you buy your own tickets for your raffle or no?
I have not in the past, because up until last year, I was the one usually reaching in and hand-picking the winner. I didn't ever want to pull my own name out of there. So
it's embarrassing.
But this year, it's all computerized. The computer takes the sale of the ticket, and it puts the name in the system, and then it randomly picks three people at the end. No human being has anything to do with it. So I will probably buy a ticket this year because I love bourbon, I love cigars, and I love guns.
Okay, then you need to buy some
ATF,
tickets.
ATF, baby.
And I do love it. The number again is text is what, 33100? Is that what it is?
33100, yeah, 33100. Okay. Just text the word responder to 33100, and you'll get a link to it. It's really easy to buy the tickets. Thank you.
And FYI, we are on the final push to sell the rest of our raffle tickets. Only 300 are going to be sold in this raffle. They are $100 a ticket, and it is for the next 12 months, starting in December, all high-end firearms that are hard to get. If you want one of those, you can reach out to me directly through Facebook. Just search Bo Matthews, and we can do the Venmo thing or whatever. So we'd love to have you support these things. Man, we got a great show for you, including a new thing that's going to be at the St. Louis Zoo, and it's not a baby elephant.
It is not. It's a gun detection system. Apparently, they think everybody's trying to pack heat when they go to the zoo, but we're going to have an expert on that talks about how effective or ineffective and really how expensive this program really is. It's coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Glad you're back with us. You know, one of the stories that caught my attention this week, Bo Matthews, was added security at the St. Louis Zoo. Now, I didn't know there was a security problem at the St. Louis Zoo, but somebody over there has decided that apparently it's common for people to conceal carry weapons at the zoo. Did you know that?
No, but is that a problem?
Well, it's not a problem to you and I, but for somebody at the zoo must think everybody's carrying weapons, even though there's not been an incident that I can find in all the time I've lived here where somebody's carried a gun into the zoo and shot people. I don't know what the concern is, I guess is what I'm getting at, because criminals are going to ignore that anyway. But they put in a system called Evolve. And unlike a regular metal detector, you don't have to slow down. You don't have to take all your stuff out and put it in a basket to go through a scanner. You just walk through this system, and it allegedly is able to scan everything and tell whether you have a gun in your purse or your pocket or whatever. So I want to play you a little clip of them describing this Evolve system. Listen.
The system is actually called Evolve. That's the brand name. So it's a weapons detection system. So it's a walk-through screening device. It's in effect. All the Disney parks have used it for years. A lot of the hospitals here in St. Louis, the soccer stadium. It's been around for a little while. So we just acquired it in late September, early October, and we've kind of launched our pilot program. and have been using it in the mornings for a couple hours. We're trying to figure out our staffing needs and just kind of learn the system. The only thing we don't allow in are weapons, any kind of handguns, any knives with a blade longer than 4 inches, our fixed blade. It's a very, very efficient system. We can get about 3,800 people an hour through it, so it picks it up pretty quickly. The hit ratio is it's looking for round metal objects. Our hit ratio is probably for every 10 people that go through, maybe one or two have to be screened. If it's set off, we take you to a secondary place right there at the entrance, ask for a quick bag check, or you know, a lot of times strollers are really hard to get through there, but 99% of the time we ask people just to take things off the stroller so we can see it and visually observe it.
Yeah, that's Glenn Eidman. He's the zoo director of security. And, you know, again, I guess we all carry a Glock because they're square and not round. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Right? So it detects round things. I don't know. I think it's a solution looking for a problem. They don't have this problem at the zoo.
What if the animals go crazy? Who's gonna protect us from them if they get out of their? No, I'm just kidding. No, they do it. You know what? St. Louis is beautiful. People travel to this city for it. It's a wonderful place, but it's almost like to me a waste of money. I mean, this is a family event. Now, in proximity to where they are compared to the city, I get it, but they've already had to have some sort of security on staff to keep an eye on it. Right. I'd love to have this thing at the airport to get everybody through so quickly. That'd be awesome.
From what I hear, there are some flaws in this system, I think, or at least drawbacks that it can lead to. And right now we're joined by Nikita Ermolov, who's a senior research engineer on weapons detectors like this at IPVM. And Nikita, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes today. I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about IPVM and what you do.
Yeah, IPVM is an independent testing and research organization covering physical security, policing, and public safety. And what we do is essentially research different products within the industry. We test them, we interview the executives, and we publish market research, we record tests, shootouts, where we compare different products within the same category, and we also do investigative journalism.
Oh, great. So you guys have studied the kind of system they put in place at the St. Louis Zoo here. I believe it's called Evolve?
Yes, indeed. We've been tracking Evolve for, I want to say, like 4 years now, and the Evolve has seen a great increase in interest and in sales in the past years, considering many school districts are buying it for increased protection.
Sure. And are there drawbacks to it? Sorry, Bo, I jumped in there.
The marketing for Evolve and other weapons detectors is that they can detect weapons without false alarms on benign objects. I mean, practice is not that easy because depending on what type of objects, what type of weapons you're trying to detect, and what type of benign objects are being brought in into the facility that you're trying to protect, you can have a various number of false alarms on your binders or water bottles. You have to kind of, there's a trade-off between the weapons that you will be able to detect and number of false alarms that you'll have.
Yeah, and when the recording of the interview that we had that we just played mentioned strollers being an issue, well, my goodness, families of all ages go to the zoo every day. That's, of course, going to be a hiccup in the process. Is this like the top-grade weapons detection system that's out there? Is this like the Tesla of this industry or no?
I wouldn't say that it is the Tesla of this industry. I would say that Evolve is the biggest provider of weapons detector screening in the industry. They're a publicly traded company. They spend the most in marketing, and they're most widely known. When it comes to false alarms on larger benign objects such as strollers, I think it's a state-of-the-art, a state-of-the-technology. All of the weapons detectors will false alarm on such big objects. And it's something that we see throughout different providers.
Yeah.
And to your point, considering that this is a zoo, many families will go to the zoo with their strollers. And in my experience, I was able to survey multiple Evolve systems operational in the field, for example, in Disney. Strollers is a big issue for these devices.
Yeah. So we're talking to Nikita Ermolov with the group IPVM, and he's a research engineer up there. And I wonder when the zoo or a school considers doing this. I know, at least from my days in journalism, one thing they used to be worried about was the fact that it was a pinch point, right? If they had to send everybody through a metal detector and then take individuals aside and screen them, it slowed down people getting into or out of a venue. I would assume this is supposed to alleviate that situation. Is it as effective?
Well, you're right in that it was supposed to do that. However, considering that in 21st century, students are bringing a bunch of larger metallic objects with them, including Chromebooks, laptops, binders, water bottles, umbrellas, eyeglass cases. All of these objects will cause problems for modern weapons detectors, which will mean that students will have to divest these objects and kind of pass them around the system or use a conveyor belt nearby or an X-ray back scanner to kind of speed up the process. But initially, they marketed their system such that you don't need to do any of these things. And it turned out that Chromebooks especially is a big problem for Evolve and other weapons detectors in the way that they will have many, many false alarms.
Okay.
And there's so-called alarm fatigue with these devices in a way that, consider you have 100 false alarms and 99 of them are in Chromebook. You're just going to assume that the 100th false alarm is also a Chromebook, but it can be on a weapon. And considering that you have so many false alarms, you're not going to treat it as with a necessary attention.
Right. If they're using these at schools, I mean, that's certainly going to be an issue, and they're probably learning more how to improve on the system, possibly. But I don't think a lot of people are taking their Chromebook to the zoo to work. I don't know for sure. I'm sure there's some. But, just about a year ago, I was talking to a manager of a Walmart in my area, and they said at the self-checkout thing, we were talking about shoplifting and stuff, and they said, oh, no. There are so many cameras that are from the floor up that you don't even realize are there. They can see something that may be stuffed under the cart. And the other thing, at Sam's, they now have a system. I think you can just have your cart of items and just, walk out through this scanner thing, and it can identify everything and charge your credit card or however that works.
Yeah.
I would think This Evolve system, I don't know how much it costs, but I think it would be something that could expedite traveling through an airport, don't you think?
There's a few points here. First of all, on the price side, it's a pretty expensive system. It's a 4-year, non-cancelable, non-refundable lease that will cost a facility $125,000 roughly. To give you some sort of context, a conventional metal detector you can purchase outright for less than $10,000. So it's a significant increase in price. And when it comes to the airport screening, TSA and DHS have very strict regulations as to what can be used in airports. And I don't foresee Evolve being used there in the near future. And Evolve itself kind of said that they're not looking to go into that route because the regulation overhang is significant in that particular area. And also Evolve has difficulties with detecting smaller weapons. And considering that it's a magnetic-based system, it will not be able to detect non-metallic threats, such as, a bomb made out of liquid or something, or a contraband. And conventional airport screening with the device that you have to go in and kind of raise your hand will be able to decide that.
Wow.
In some aspects.
$125K a year for 4 years at least to get these in.
Non-cancelable.
No. $125,000 for 4 years.
Oh, so I see. For 4 years.
$30,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. What a bargain.
All right. Yeah. Nikita, since we've got you on here, the subject of school security is something we've talked a lot about on this show and on my show, because those are soft targets. And when we see attacks that happen in those schools, you know, the city of St. Louis put metal detectors in its schools years ago. And I can't remember the last time, other than the Gateway Performing Arts Center down here a couple years ago, where there's been a situation where a student got into a school going through the regular doorways and caused a problem. Are these kinds of systems being used to address that at other schools around the country?
K through 12 is the biggest market for Evolve and other weapons detectors providers, which is an interesting point considering the fact that they were not initially targeting this market. However, after several school shootings that gained nationwide attention, they decided to kind of expand into this market.
Okay.
And Evolve has been one of the biggest providers of weapons detectors to case the 12. They're used all over the place.
Well, Nikita, I've got a question for you before we let you go. And thank you for being on this show. And by the way, it is called Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. So we talk a lot about guns and everything else. But can it detect a Glock? Because a Glock frame and magazine body oftentimes are made of a polymer. Can it detect just the ammo, which obviously would be metal? Actually, there is some 9mm ammo that's aluminum. I don't know if it would pick up on that. You know, small, you said it was, it's hard to detect really small stuff. I'm sure they've tested it for that. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So, first of all, great question. First on the polymer side. So this system is a magnetic based system, which means that it will detect objects that are made of ferrous materials, and ferrous is a material that contains iron. So when it comes to handguns, as you mentioned, a lot of upper and lower receivers can be made from 3D printed materials or non-metallic materials. However, for a weapon, at least in my understanding, for a weapon to be more than one shot, it has to have a very durable barrel, which
right.
is predominantly made out of iron-containing compounds, and this will have Glocks be detected. However, there is an important consideration earlier throughout this interview. I kind of mentioned that there is a trade-off between false alarms and the weapons that you can and will detect. And if a given facility kind of wants to have a better experience and can lower down what is called a sensitivity setting. And this setting will essentially, if it's lowered down, the number of weapons that will go undetected can go up. And considering that there are several, I believe there are 7 sensitivity settings, and then the lower sensitivity setting, firearms such as Glocks can go missed if a facility prioritizes visitor experience over security.
Well, I tell you.
These systems are not equal, meaning Evolve in a school district XYZ can be more secure than Evolve at a St. Louis Zoo, considering because they will choose a higher sensitivity thing.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to ammo is predominantly made out of non-ferrous materials. So these are materials that do not have very strong magnetic capabilities, and Evolve will have difficulty detecting these kind of objects as well. They publicly disclosed that they have problems detecting zinc and other non-ferrous materials. So detecting ammo is a more complex task weapons detectors.
Well, Nikita Ermolov, we appreciate your time today. How can people find out more about IPVM?
You can just go on their website, IPVM.com, or Google us. We have a Wikipedia page and everything.
Very good. Nikita, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Yeah. We just wanted to find out more information on this because, you know, I said to Carl, Google it. I mean, Google it. When is the last time they had a problem with somebody bringing a gun into the zoo? You only
have. It's funny you say that. Nothing. Well, no. I did a Google search during this conversation, and it's always outside in the parking lot or near the Bronx Zoo is one of the examples. So it's not like it's an issue, but I don't. Who knows? People everybody's freaking out.
Well, yeah, people
stuff.
Are paranoid about it. Yeah, thank you.
Well, unless they get out of the cage,
yeah,
as I mentioned.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened in a couple of years at least. Yeah, that's true.
There are more animals getting out of cages, gentlemen, than they are shootings at zoos. I'm just saying, inside the zoo. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a really cool event. And I just drove by the Festus Firearms and Indoor Range not long ago. I was like, I never knew they were here, but they've got a big event coming up. If you like a meat shoot, oh boy, stick around. We've got good news for you next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are top in suppressing a firearm. If you've ever thought about doing that, maybe you're shopping for yourself or maybe a family member for a suppressor for a firearm, Razorback Armory can take care of it from beginning to delivery. Just get into the store as soon as you can. Find out more at RazorbackArmory.com, but they are on Manchester Road, just east of 270 on the south side of the road next to the tennis shop. And I say that because you'll see that first. It's true. No,
yeah,
it's just true.
It's true. Great, yeah, and close to the Chick-fil-A, because I drove by it the other day as I was on my way to Chick-fil-A, in fact. I just happened to know that. Thought I'd notice it. Thought I'd mention it. Hey, you know what? Normally, because this weekend is the opening for deer season, right? Normally, yeah. You would refer to what you're going to go do this weekend as a meat shoot, right? Isn't that right, Bo?
You would.
I wouldn't, because I don't normally get one, but I'm hoping to get a deer this weekend. I'm going to be at deer camp, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But the safer way to do that might be to actually go to a meat shoot. And we got Dan Kramer with us right now, owner of Festus Firearms and Indoor Range down at 2545 U.S. Highway 67 in beautiful Festus, Missouri. And Dan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes. I love this. This is your first ever indoor charity meet shoot, and I think you got a lot to explain in that sentence.
That is correct. We're doing it the first time, and we're pretty damn excited about it, so I'm hoping it becomes a good turnout and give some money to charity, too, which is always a wonderful thing.
That's awesome. I've only been to one meet shoot down in, I think it was, Ozora, Missouri, on the way down near Perryville, I think it was. Anyway, went down there with a buddy, came away with the biggest slab of bacon in my life, and it was awesome. So what kind of meat are we shooting for, and when is the event? That's what I need to know.
We're calling it a meat shoot, but it's going to be a combination. We'll probably give away some Christmas hams, but it'll also be more cash prizes and stuff, too, plus gun giveaway. So what we're doing, instead of doing the traditional shotgun shell outside stuff, since we have an indoor range, we're going to use 22 long rifle birdshot, and we're going to shoot 20 foot at the 5.5 by 5.5 shot targets, and the closest one to the target obviously wins, just like you would in the old school meat shoots. This way, it's I wouldn't call it challenging. It's going to be a luck of the draw, because it's that's the advantage of anybody that can shoot can win this. And that's the neat thing, win these tournaments and win prizes and stuff. So we're going to do 25 rounds and hopefully sell a lot of rounds of cards and stuff and have a lot of winners.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So kind of set that up for us, because I saw in the information that you sent us that you'll be using a pistol and a rifle. Is it, a rifle would be a little unfair, 20 feet, wouldn't it?
That is absolutely correct. So what we're going to do, we're going to use pistols for the actual bird shot.
Okay.
At the 20 foot, and we'll go through that whole series. And then later on in the afternoon, we'll kind of switch over to those who are really good marksmen, so can bring their own pistol and rifle, and we'll go 60 foot, and we'll shoot the high quality 22 long rifles and try to get the best three round group, and that give people who are true marksmen an actual chance, and those will be cash prizes as well as exchange for possible meat.
Yeah,
for the winners.
Yeah. Well, what's the charity?
Well, we got a couple right now. We also got the Freedom 13 supporting the veterans.
Love that.
Mark Schultz is actually interested in helping us out. He's going to be bringing, I think, he's got a rafter or something like that. He wants to put on his play. I also got Vicky with me.
Hi, how are you?
She's hey, good. Yeah, thank you.
And then we also got another one called Brendan's Friday Backpack. It helps feed kids over the weekends when the schools are out. There's a lot of hungry kids, especially in season. So we like those, and hopefully we'll take on another one if we can. We're just hoping to obviously generate as many people as we can to generate as much money as we can to hand it out. and make it a success.
I love the idea. Dan, hey, what is the date of the event? I didn't get the, of course, I don't get all the emails that Mark gets. So what's the date of the event?
That'll be Saturday, the 30th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or longer. If it needs to go longer, we'll just keep going. We also got a food truck out there for people who are hungry people. We'll have all that ready.
Well, again, we're talking to Dan Kramer from Festus Firearms down on Highway 67 there in Festus. Saturday the 30th is when this is taking place. You know, I'm going to go ahead and just express my ignorance because Bo was making fun of me. I'd never even heard of a 22 long rifle birdshot load before. Do people hunt with this? I mean, honestly, I'd never heard of it.
No, it's literally a CCI makes it, and it's a blue plastic tip, and you can get number 12 birdshot in the actual bullet, because obviously a 22 long rifle is a very small bullet.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot of pellets, but I'm thinking based on some of the testings, I bet there's probably close to 100 pellets in these things.
Wow.
So it's quite a lot of pellets. At 20 foot, there's going to be 30, 40 pellets hitting about a 6-inch square cart. So the chances are pretty good. You're closer to be tighter, but I'm trying to make it a little more challenging. So 20 foot seems to be a good distance.
Yeah. And did you guys invent this idea, or have you heard about this? How did you get inspired to put this on? Because, by the way, I'm a huge fan of the 22-shot loads, because they're just fantastic for snakes and things like that, small critters.
Yep, exactly what they are. I thought about this because I realized in the old traditional meat shoot with your 12-gauge and 20-gauge, and you'd shoot the cards at whatever distance it was. And I thought, how can we promote our indoor range? And that's being November, the weather could be just rotten, so it would be fantastic. We're all indoors. So I was thinking that the safest thing to do would be to use the 22s, and I thought, well, there's no recoil to it, so more people can shoot. Younger generation, older, people with handicaps can actually hold on to the firearm and not get beat to death by a 12-gauge. So I thought that the shot shell would be a safer and just as challenging an opportunity to win prizes and good for charity. So I think it'll work out well.
So did you come up with this idea yourself?
I'm thinking I did. I may have heard something a long time ago about this. I think someone told me years ago, I heard some indoor bar somewhere that was doing this for a meat shoot. I mean, years ago, somebody had told me that going down the road, and I thought, well, that'd be an idea. And then, the hard part was getting the ammo. The ammo, for a long time, wasn't available. It's only been maybe this summer that the 22 bird shots are back in the market again. But since COVID, you haven't seen it. It's just so it's nice we actually got plenty of it. So that's good.
Yeah.
CCI? Yeah, I'm sorry. Did CCI back you on this, or are they helping you out or sponsoring?
No, I wish they did. I didn't really reach out and talk to them. But no, we were able to get it from different wholesalers. I did contact Xander's Sporting Goods over in Sparta, Illinois, and they're actually donating ammo for us, which is wonderful.
Nice. No kidding. Mm-hmm. Dan Kramer, our guest this morning. You know, Dan, as the owner of a firearm store, I know in the past, the supply side had been a little bit of a problem because of the increased demand on these on the manufacturers of the ammunition because of the wars that are going on around the world. Are you still seeing a problem with that? I mean, is a lot of that stuff still being redirected to overseas?
I think we're finally over the hump.
Okay.
That was a fantastic point because that was something we definitely struggled with since COVID as far as getting ammo. And I very few calibers that we can't get now. So I would have to say, and same with the firearms, the whole industry, I think is finally about 96-97% stocked up, which is nice. If you're looking for something oddball or whatever, it's been hard to get for the longest time. You can probably track it down now.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing.
I walked into the range up here in St. Louis to Saturday. I was in there, and I saw several like boxes of 30-30, and I mean, for a while there, you couldn't find it anywhere, and they had plenty of it.
Yep, and then all different manufacturers too.
Yeah,
so that's a nice thing. I mean, especially for the deer hunters this year, they actually have the ammo for their firearms. And last year, you almost had the ammo for your firearms; you had to search for it.
Right.
Before that, you just had to pick a different caliber because you couldn't find it.
Well, that's so true. You know, I just got to ask because anytime you walk into any gun store, I'm in Razorback all the time. There's the range, Docs, all you guys. It's always like a brotherhood, a family, and I always love the conversation. So, did you see the highlight that Trump is appointing and hopefully going to get reciprocity for concealed carry people throughout all 50 states? Did you hear this, or is this? Is this tinfoil hat stuff, Mark? You're looking at me funny.
No, no, it's true.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. That's what I thought. So, Dan, what was your thoughts?
Well, that's awesome. I was the first time I actually heard that, so I'm happy. That's just awesome.
Well,
just, oh, yeah. Good. Awesome. Okay.
I mean, I don't know how easy it's going to be for him to do that, but if the Republicans have the House and the Senate and the White House, they should be able to get through some common sense legislation like that. It's ridiculous that if I drive my daughter to Belleville for some reason, I've got to store my concealed firearm separately from the ammunition somewhere in the car, which is doing me absolutely no good just because they don't think Missouri's concealed carry requirements are strong enough. I mean, it's just nonsensical. You've been through a background check two or three times at that point. It never makes any sense to me.
It's a wonderful thing. I hope it's happening.
Yeah. I, like I said, I love conversation. It's like going into your favorite tavern. You know, conversation at a gun store is always on point, and I always learn so much. Dude, I don't know. Mark, if you're going to be in town, I'd love to meet you down at this meat shoot. This would be a blast.
Yeah, I will not be in town.
Plus, I'm a carnivore.
Exactly. You are on the carnivore diet. That's true. You ought to see this guy. I will not be in town that weekend, but you should head down there, Bo.
Oh, I'm going to. If awesome. I'm in town, I'm definitely coming down.
Good. Well, yeah. Dan Kramer, listen, thank you for giving us a tip about this, and I hope people can show up down there Saturday the 30th for your meat shoot. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling us and inviting us on the radio. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to meeting you sometime.
Real quick, where can we go online? Where can we go online to find out more information? I'm on your website, and I don't see anything on there.
That is correct. It's festusfirearms.com or .net. And we're actually, as we speak, we've got the IT guy putting a link up on it. So
excellent.
Right now,
perfect.
You can reach it if you go under miscellaneous on the search bar. You'll come up with it, but we're going to put a link right on the front of the page. So working on that today.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
It'll be up. It'll be up by the time this show airs. Good deal. I'll see you soon, brother.
Well, thank you so much for calling, guys. I really appreciate that.
You bet. Dan Kramer. Calls. Appreciate it. Festus Firearms. That'd be a good time. You're right. It's been a long time since I've done a meat shoot. I think I did one with my dad's old single shot 16 gauge, which had a really good pattern on it. But, man, that was up in Florissant, I think, and that was probably 25 years ago. It's been a while.
Dude, I'm just so excited about this because, again, I'm a fan of the 22 shot. The shot shell, it's actually cool. I've known about them for a few years, and I've always kept them in stock. And it's just good to have because even though it probably isn't deadly for a human, it can also be used in self-defense, kind of like the same thinking that people like to use a shotgun in a home for home defense because it's not a 223 going through 17 walls and going out the other side. So it's just a thought.
And I guess that all depends on where you hit them. You know it's going to hurt regardless, right?
Going to sting, baby.
Yeah, it's going to sting. They're going to know they've been somebody reached out and touched them for sure. All right, that's going to do it, I think, for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
All right. See you, boys.